from New Orleans, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Today, we're reprising our interview with a national treasure, the great blues singer, Taj Mahal. In fact, that's his song, Tom and Sally Drake, playing now. For more than 50 years, Mahal has been playing all kinds of work songs, children's songs, and love songs. He celebrates farmers and cows, chickens and bees, even a girl with big knees.
You want Mahler? Go listen to Mahler. This ain't Mahler.
This ain't Mahler. No. You're so right.
No, I mean, I'm not mad at Mahler.
No.
You know, but that's not what it is.
And this father of 11 is not afraid to talk about sex.
I'm just glad I'm a real adult.
Taj Mahal, a great American pastime, after the break. When we interviewed Taj Mahal in 2013, he was promoting 13 albums at once. It takes a strong man to do that. Columbia Records had released a one-pound box of his music featuring 12 albums. And Mahal had also released an album called True Blues. Now, he has yet another chart topper with Keb Mo called Taj Mo. But even 14 albums don't cover the entirety of Mahal's career. He's been too restless, too curious, too brave. Mahal is a blues man who played Americana music before there was a name for it. He was an early champion of world music, and he released children's albums long before children's music ever became a genre on iTunes. Heck, he was there before there was iTunes. So when we met in Lafayette in 2013, it was clear that Mahal had done pretty much what he set out to do. He put some shake in your shaker, some quake in your quaker,
and a little rock in your sock.
Taj Mahal joins us here at the studios of KRVS in Lafayette, Louisiana. Thank you so much for coming out.
All right, thank you.
Very kind.
Invite me out.
Our pleasure. Now, the thing is, you're a man of many interests. You're widely read. You're an ethnomusicologist. You're a folklorist. You're a film score composer. You're a fisherman. But I'd love to start our chat today talking about your life as a farmer. Now, you ran a dairy farm, didn't you, in Massachusetts, where you were raised?
Yeah, I was born in Harlem, New York. My mother was from the South. She's from South Carolina and grew up with a big family farm. Her mother came to the marriage of she and my grandfather as a landed woman back in the 19th century.
In South Carolina?
In South Carolina.
That's rare.
Oh, yeah. They were about getting that land together. And so they had a farm in the midst of all that. So my mother was like really, as much as she was going towards sophistication and educated at South Carolina State, she knew how to snap a chicken neck quick and raise some butter beans in the backyard.
Shell some peas.
Listen, she did everything. Put food by, canned, made them big old fist-sized dumplings, just everything, hot water, cornbread, this kind of that. I mean, all kinds. It was an incredible cook.
There you go.
It occurred to me as a young child interested in the history that agriculture and music were closely aligned, particularly in Africa and then in the South and through the Caribbean.
But at some point in your early life, you were standing next to a bunch of cows, though. How did that happen?
Well, the city was starting to close in on me, and I discovered in maybe the eighth or ninth grade that I could have been hanging out with cows and horses and chickens and learning about them. I could go south to my mother's relatives or any old the older people even in the neighborhood that still, had agriculture around them in a small kind of way, garden, few chickens or something like that, rabbits or fruit trees, grapes and whatnot. But then I said to myself, maybe there's something interesting inside of modern education about agriculture that you might need to learn. So go and check it out.
So you went to university, right? You
went to University of Massachusetts. But before that, I was going to vocational agriculture school and then on to the university. But in between all of that, I was working on the farm. And all my weekends, all my vacation, any of them, was on the farm.
My dad grew up on a farm in Florida, actually, and his job as a boy was to milk the cows every day. And he said after a while, the cow sees you as a calf, you know, the little kid, and he goes, and the cow will just lick you on the head.
It's like sometimes I was milking as much as 70 cows twice a day and four machines carrying it. It was really good. I mean, focus. It got me to understand production. But the bottom line is that I like the idea of being service to in service to humanity, one, and agriculture seemed to be able to provide that as well as music. And then also to a way to be home all the time. And be able to be in control of your food.
Yeah, self-sufficient.
Oh yeah,
that's and rooted big someplace.
Yeah, and that comes. That's the whole Caribbean thing, and also my American family the same way. You know, from the South, they're very, very independent.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had always thought that your folks were Jamaican, of Jamaican descent, but...
My stepfather was Jamaican.
Your stepfather.
My mother remarried.
Ah.
My dad, you know, incredible musician, but he was working to load a vehicle and not the best place, so...
There was an accident.
Oh, yeah, accident. We lost him. He was killed in that accident.
How old were you at that time?
I was... 11 going 12.
That is young.
Yeah, I was 11 going 12. And he was a man with a wife with five kids. My mother, she had to work her way back, you know, and she pulled it off without losing us.
Here's your mother. I mean, she was a school teacher, great cook, great, you know what I mean, you know,
great
very comfortable
too.
Around food and raising food. Then your dad was a jazz pianist, composer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Arranger and all. And so that right there is a marriage of music and...
Oh, yeah. It was serious, deep gospel from the South. You know, I mean, she introduced me to, you know, right alongside of hearing, you know, Count Basie and Nat King Cole. And, you know, I was hearing Marian Anderson, you know, eventually Leontine Price. You know, the first record that the Staple Singers put out.
Wow.
And so, I mean, I can clearly remember laying in bed, listening to the way people sang, and my mother was Mahalia Jackson. I mean, devotee.
Sure.
Mahalia got played in our house, I'm gonna tell you.
Deep river. My home is over Jordan.
Listened to it for so many years, and I put it on. It was like I was right back there in that same room, you know, waking up on Sunday morning when she's gonna cook up before we go out and go to church.
Was that in Springfield, Massachusetts?
Yeah, Springfield. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gospel feel
The depth of the music around me was so exciting. And in the traditional sense, the music is ceremonial, birth, marriage, harvest, you know, the passing of people, the changing of seasons, the asking for sustenance from something above and beyond. I mean, the music is the language. It's our planetary language, you know, and maybe it's even intergalactic language. I mean, sure. I can see that it would be.
You know, you have a wonderful ear for language and for dialects and patois and the way that people really talk.
I mean, seriously, tell you about that. I mean, how many Sundays I sat up with my aunts up in the front room with them, you know, when my parents let us in because there was adult conversation going on. Y'all ain't supposed to be up in there. It didn't make any difference if it's Southern or West Indian. You still wasn't supposed to be up there when your parents is talking, you know. You know, but anyway, it was just great grown people. You know, dancing and listening to all this great music.
But speaking of those conversations that you overheard when you were a kid and the music that you were listening to, I mean, it really helped to develop your ear because you did a wonderful album early on in which you throw in expressions like, you know, or terms like heavy hip girl and big need gal and things like that. And I mean, it's hard to reconcile the idea sometimes of like these kinds of conversations in Massachusetts. I mean, you don't really imagine, you know, John Quincy Adams talking about a heavy hip girl.
Well, I'm not talking to him.
You know, I met my baby at a Thanksgiving dinner party. We was introduced to one another by a mutual friend. And when my baby smiled at me, ooh, you want to see me grin. And I really do love her. She is my baby, she my sweetie, she my lover, she my pal. But now you know that I'm just crazy about that woman. She is my big neat gal. You know my baby's frisky as a filly that got home from some pasture that was a green up last week. And when she throws a love out on me, ooh, there ain't another I would ever see. I really do love her. Ooh, she my baby, she my sweetie, she my lover, she my pal. People, now you know that I'm just crazy about that woman. She is my thank you. gang giving dinner party. You know he was introduced to one another, to one another, to one another, my mutual friend. And my baby smiled at me. You know my whole world again. And I really do love her. She my baby, she my sweetie, she my lover, she my pal. You know I'm just crazy about that woman. Oh, she my baby, nigga. She my baby.
Big Need Gal by Taj Mahal, sung live in 1971 at the Fillmore East in New York City. Aside from his singing and songwriting, Mahal plays banjo, guitar, harmonica, hambone, and fife. His performing credits also include whistling and jive. Coming up, Taj Mahal and Cicely Tyson make movie history. Stay tuned. This is a rebroadcast of Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and we're hearing from the great Taj Mahal. That's him playing Ain't Gwan' Whistle Dixie Anymore. Mahal was born Henry St. Clair Fredericks, Jr., but changed his name in the late 1950s. As a young man, he was at the forefront of the blues revival scene nationwide, bringing attention to long-forgotten men and women, some former slaves, whose songs were timeless. That devotion to authenticity may be why Mahal was tapped to write the music for the historic 1972 film Sounder, starring Cicely Tyson. Sounder realistically depicted, perhaps for the first time, the joys and anxieties of life for black sharecroppers in the South.
Out to the country, mama, don't you wanna go?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, this here's where I'm gonna have to say goodbye to y'all. Fun, Miss Rebecca?
Yes, too, huh?
Oh, yes.
Looks like it's gonna be a nice warm night coming up, Nathan. You going in the woods?
Oh, yeah. And coons and possums better hide deep from us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest in the world better hide tonight. Oh, Lord. Hide tonight. Hide tonight. Oh, Lord. Hide tonight.
But let's face it, as a blues man from Massachusetts, Mahal was unusual.
I didn't live in the South, but I sure as heck lived inside that music, and that music lived inside of me, you know? And so, you know, it was just really important to get it out there so people could hear it. So I was open to a lot of people. I mean, it's like...
Thank you.
was about the first music that I ever learned from my friend, the late Lynn Perry. Linwood Perry came from North Carolina, and I had recently found my stepfather's guitar and was dying to play it. Guitar music was all over the place, you know, Muddy, Bo Diddley, particularly Chuck Berry, and guitar music was ringing everywhere. And here comes a guy that could show you how to play that, which is like, in particular, I love Jimmy Reed. I'm a Jimmy Reed fan.
Yes, I do too.
Of Jimmy Reed. Mm-hmm. You know, Jimmy Reed didn't even call it blues. That was just the music that he played.
Exactly.
You could say it's blues, but I think it's a little bit bigger than blues, you know. As you know, the way most people think about it. Basically, first guitar lesson to learn how to play that.
Wow, that was Jimmy Reed.
Yeah,
and the Linwood Perry song. What was that song?
Same family of notes and rhythms.
Yeah, same family. It's true.
Yes,
but
yeah.
And you also, I mean, you took work from. Henry Thomas?
Yeah.
I mean, Henry Thomas, who was born, you know what I mean, into a family of freed slaves back in the late 19th century, hit it big in the 1920s, and here you were in the 60s and 70s, you know what I mean, playing his music.
Bet you gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my line. I'm gone fishing, it's a gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Went on down my favorite fishing hole. Now I got myself a pole and line. Caught a 9-pound catfish on the bottom. Clean my got him now. Took him on to mama by supper time. Sing many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on. Honey, am I? I'm going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and the baby going fishing too. Baby brother just about to run me out of my mind. Said, man, can I go fishing with you? Took him on down to my favorite fishing hole. What you think that brother mine did do? Caught a 7-pound bird to the bottom. Glimmy got him now. Took him home to mama. Say he is real gone. Come on, honey, and he is going fishing. Yes, he going fishing, and the baby going fishing too. Put him in the pot, baby, put him in the pan. Mama cook him till he nice and brown. Get yourself a batch of buttermilk, okay, baby. Put the sucker on the table, mama, you scarf him on down. Singing many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my... I'm going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.
So I don't care if a guy had one song in... that he recorded back when, and that basically is the song that represents him. Everybody's somebody, and nobody's nobody. The pauper or the wealthy.
Absolutely.
Bet you gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Sometimes she do. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. I'm gone fishing, mama's gone fishing, and the baby's gone fishing too. I'm gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. I'm going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.
sometimes when I listen to, like, when I listen to a song you did called Done Changed My Way of Living, I actually hear John Lee Hooker in that song when you do your how, you know?
It's just that's keeping all those voices alive. I mean, you know, a lot of times the guys keep the guitar notes alive mm-hmm. or the arrangement style alive, but they don't have the voice or the knowledge of the voices.
Peaches in the summertime, big fat sweet apples in the fall. If I can't have that big butt, big leg girl of mine, I ain't want no skinny leg girl at all.
Peaches in the summertime, big fat sweet apples in the fall. I don't think you're talking about food here. If I can't have that big leg, big butt woman of mine, I don't want
no skinny leg girl at all. And that's all I'm doing is like, I'm seeing the culture, the music, the agriculture, the time. Mm-hmm. The thoughts of people back in the spirit, the soul of those times and those conversations.
Well, I'll tell you, I was hoping that you might be able to play a little bit of Cakewalk Into Town for us.
I got the blues so bad one time, put my face in a permanent frown. Now I'm feeling so much better, child, I can cakewalk into town. I woke up this morning feeling so good, you know I laid back down again. Throw your big leg up over me, mama, I might not feel this good again. Now I ate. It's for Aya, Aretha, sometime, you know, it's Arkansas. Well, anyway, I love them, girl. The cocaine make no law. I would love to spend a picnic in the country with you and stay there all day. I wouldn't do nothing, baby, but while my time away. I got the blues so bad one time it put my face in a permanent frown. Now I'm feeling so much better I can cakewalk into town. Yep.
That's a goodie. That's a goodie. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins talking with the great Taj Mahal. And Taj Mahal, I'm just going to tell you, I want to talk about sex. Is that okay with you? Okay.
All right. Let's get urban on. Let's get busy. Go ahead.
Not so fast. We've got to take a break. So slip into something more comfortable and stay tuned. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is a rebroadcast of Music Inside Out. Taj Mahal and I left you on a cliffhanger just now, promising to talk about sex. Well, we wouldn't be talking about sex if Mahal didn't record songs like Strong Man Holla.
I remember you, baby, back in the 19 and a rough 59. You were 17 years old and you fine. You did a little rat tat, tat tat, too on this heart of mine. You make a strong man hot love, make a weak man. Fine, I wouldn't want the nobody else. And when I get home, don't put your good loving on the shelf. You still can make a strong man holler, make a weak man lose his home.
I saw some old film footage of Son House, who was a wonderful vocalist as well as a great, you know, blues, acoustic blues guitarist. He was saying, you know, the blues can't be about just anything. The blues are about lovers, two people who are in love, as he put it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was quite emphatic about it. Now, of course, people have written blues about just about everything. I mean, but do you fall closer to Son House, or do you take a different view?
Yeah, there's a sexy rhythmic thing that I'm always looking for that in the music to be there, so you can feel it. You feel it deep.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, because a lot of times people are running that stuff through their head. Okay, that's what you want. You want Mahler? Go listen to Mahler. This ain't Mahler.
No. You're so right.
No, I mean, I'm not mad at Mahler.
No.
You know, but that's not what it is.
That's right. And I mean, and you have a very charming way of embracing carnality in your music, in your songs. I mean, mm-hmm. your version of Scratch My Back, Dust Me Down, Good Morning, Little Schoolgirl, Strong Man Holler. I mean, these are songs that... I mean, they're very sexy songs, but at the same time, they sustain you in lots of different ways.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, the best thing that happened when in the 60s when we were talking about, you know, people, alternative, you know, energies, was a lot of literature was available. And I spent a lot of time reading East Indian, Persian, Chinese, particularly the Taoists.
Yes.
You know, the West still has some growth issues around sexuality, still to this day.
Absolutely.
Where earlier Eastern philosophy was that sex was healing. And, I mean, Marvin Gaye had one of the biggest records of his life with sexual healing.
Yes.
And it's a part of, it's a deep part of life, and it's a healing part of life. I'm just glad I'm a real adult.
You know? I'm just glad I'm a real adult.
You know, and it's
you
like,
put
it's
that on
all,
a t-shirt.
Yeah, right.
It's true.
Yeah, well, the music can inform you how deep this is all about. But it's interesting that you bring the subject up, and that you obviously are receiving the message. Thank you very much.
Message received.
All right.
It's true. Copy that. But I love that song, Stealing, that you do. You did it on your Happy to Be Just Like I Am album. But then it's also appeared on I think other compilations that you've done, maybe. Yeah, and that's a song that, that Gus Cannon wrote, but your version it's just juicy, and I want to listen to it just for a little bit. Is that all right with
sure.
you?
Sure.
Okay.
Woman, won't you put your arm around like the circle around the sun? Oh, no, do me pretty, baby, like that old easy rider of mine done. Stealing,
when you play along with your songs. It's really, it's wonderful because you play with your whole body and you just, I don't know, you seem very happy when you do it, you know?
Gus was a genius.
Yes, he was.
You know, the songs that he put out are just, you know, fantastic. And, you know, I just wasn't going to have him get lost.
I'm telling you, I mean, these lyrics are incredible. I just love these lyrics. You know, woman, why don't you put your arms around me like a circle around the sun?
I mean, just the imagery of it, it's like huge. It's stupendous.
It is.
I don't hear nobody writing stuff like that out of the culture at the moment.
Love you, baby.
Well, after talking about sex, we got to talk about kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the two are linked forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have quite a few kids, don't you?
Yeah, I have 11 kids.
Almost a baker's dozen.
Well, we had more, and several of them didn't make it to now, and we lost one tragically, like the same year I lost my sister, a week apart, 2001, I think it was. But we have a really strong family, and the oldest is 47, going 48, and the youngest is 19. And
amazing.
Yeah, and three of my grandsons just graduated from college.
So you have 11 surviving children.
Yes.
That's amazing. That is an amazing. May I ask you, is it all with the same wife?
No,
okay.
No,
I think that woman must be tired.
No, well, back where I was coming from, my grandmother had 17 kids.
Wow. Well, so do you think being around kids so much growing up and having so many kids that contributed to you moving toward, particularly in the 80s, you know what I mean, your children's albums? You know, because you started with Shake Sugary,
yeah,
that album, and then you've done other recordings, subsequent recordings for children.
I did children's concerts from the beginning, but the real genius of the whole thing, and I'm not just here to pat myself on the back, was creating something that didn't drive the parents crazy.
Yes.
Because certain other children's musicians created something that when the kids turned it on in the car, you start ripping your teeth. You know, it's like, okay. So So I put together some music that both the parents and the kids like,
mm-hmm,
which was a good thing because it brought the parents and the kids together with some music that they could agree upon.
Can you think of an example? Would you play a little example for us?
Oh, let me see. There's a brown girl in the ring. Tra la 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 la. There's a brown girl in the ring. Tra la 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 la. Brown girl in the ring. Tra la 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 la. And she looks like a sugar in a plum. Oh, old head water gone dry. Ain't got nowhere to wash my clothes. Old head water gone dry. Got nowhere to wash my clothes. Ganga dang, oh suki, ganga dang. There's a brown girl in the ring. Tra la 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 la. There's a brown girl in the ring. Tra la 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 la. There's a brown girl in the ring. Tra la 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 la. And she looks like a sugar in a pump. You know? And everybody's going down the road singing it at the top of their voice. You know? And, or, oh, Lordy me. Then we shake sugary. Everything I have is gone. Everything I have is gone. Pawn my watch. Pawn my crown. Would drink too, but I don't know how. Oh, Lordy me. Then we shake sugary.
It's a good one. I mean, the thing is, in a way, not only are you entertaining children and their parents all at the same time, but you're also growing your audience, because those kids, the songs that you're choosing to play for them, are great primers in the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in a way, you know, what you're planting seeds, you're farming.
Oh, yeah, well,
you're creating a
profitable
audience.
Yeah, and they come around. I mean, they come around and tell me that they heard that music back then when we put it out. Those records came out in the 80s.
Oh, Lordy me, can I shake sugary? Everything I got, I got.
It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins, talking with a man who used to be Henry St. Clair Fredericks Jr. But he's had two names since then.
I had more names before that.
And more names before that. As the story goes, the name Taj Mahal came to you in a dream. But let me ask you, is Henry St. Clair Fredericks Jr. dead?
He is a transitional character. He is, no. I mean, it's interesting because that person didn't know his African name, and it wasn't until I met through the music one Bartolo Seco Cuiate. Mm. And Bartolo Seco Cuiate was one of the oldest griots.
Griot, you mean?
Yeah, griot.
Sort of a storyteller.
Right. He was from Mali. Bartolo probably died almost 100 years old. And I think in the 90s or early 2000, he passed on. And when I looked at him, he looked like the whole Frederick side of my family. But he knew about me through Tumani Diabate. And,
the great choral player from Mali.
That's correct. And they said unquestionably because of the way I play, and the fact that I'm a composer, that I'm a descendant from the Cuiates. And so I have the proper name now, which is Mamadou Dadi Cuiate.
So you were Henry St. Clair Fredericks Jr., then you were Taj Mahal, but you're saying that your African name, your West African name, Cuiate.
Cuiate,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Cuiate or Cuiate.
Is actually the first name you count as in your identity.
Like, it's D-A-D-I, not D-A-D-D-Y. It's like a name of endearment.
Relationship you have with Tumani Diabate, it's a unique and very special relationship that, as a music lover, I can hear just when I hear you all play together.
These musicians are powerful. They're so powerful that you sometimes have to leave your country, be because their power to have you play like them or draw the same thing down as they do is amazing, because they have generation after generation, generation of critical mass that's been passed down.
It's like, in a way, you know, you and he, Djibouti, are like landsmen, you know? You come from the same place, even though you were born, you know, miles apart. And, like, when you all do that mashup of Mississippi Molly blues, I mean, that's something, it's a very special moment. What's going on in that song?
Oh, what's going on in that song is like, if you're plowing all day, it's the real, pretty much a plowing rhythm behind a mule.
Mm.
You know, or working truck, when you be trucking and pulling all day long, that's what that is. You know, it's work. It's a work beat.
Yeah, and it's patient, but at the same time, it has
still got some drive.
It moves to this. It drives. Yeah, to this.
It's alive.
Man. You know,
it's alive.
Climax.
It's alive. I mean, a lot of guys are playing that stuff by rote. You can't phone that in. There's no phoning that groove in.
No.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, you wear yourself out trying to play it.
Well, I tell you what, you know, we've come to the end of our time. I've had a ball. I feel like we've gone around the world together, you know, from the Northeast down through the South, you know, and heading out into the Caribbean and then to, you know what I mean, and then to Africa and back.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for coming out.
All right.
Oh, this is the great Taj Mahal joining us at KRVS Studios in Lafayette, Louisiana. And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Sean Collins, Thomas Pierce, and Jason Rhine. Very special thanks this week go to the great, great Carl Fontenot and all the good folks at KRVS in Lafayette, Louisiana. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO New Orleans. If you'd like to see a playlist of our show or listen to any of our other programs, please come to our website at musicinsideout.org. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the historic New Orleans collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Rosa Mary Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Studio, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible, thanks to our partnership with the National Performance Network. For more information on how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.